is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Inflation. The story is told in competing headlines. First, London. U.S. inflation rate exceeds forecast. Subhead. Consumer price growth keeps pressure on Federal Reserve for further big rate increases this month, within days. Bloomberg, coming to New York, but this is global. U.S. inflation tops forecast, cementing odds of big Fed hike. Of course, the U.S. futures plunge. The market follows the reporting very carefully because monetary policy is what we're looking to when the Fed next meets within days. I welcome Elizabeth Peake, writing at The Hill, a columnist, writing at Fox News, a columnist. These expectations are now, in fact, disappointing. There was talk that perhaps inflation would cool enough for the Federal Reserve to stay its hand partially, not completely. 0.75 point, 0.5 point, 0.75 have come to be known as a jumbo hike. It's the term that they use in Europe, and I like it. Jumbo anything reminds me of Walt Disney and Happy Days. Liz, a very good evening to you. A jumbo hike is on course for next week. Are you surprised that the inflation has not cooled more? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I am not surprised because there are several components of the inflation index which clearly were increasing, particularly rents, for example. The cost of home, of buying a home or renting one has been going up. I think the disappointment, just kind of summing up what's happened today, is that the number went higher than we saw in July, even though energy prices have clearly been plummeting. And I think because of energy prices, which, of course, are other, another big component of the CPI, people expected the numbers to improve over July, and they did not. In fact, in July, if you remember, Joe Biden very cheerfully announced there was no inflation, which left a lot of people scratching their heads. But, I mean, statistically, he was right. There was zero month-to-month increase in prices in July. This month, there was a 0.1%. Doesn't sound like much, but the year-over-year increase was 8.3%, which was worse than expected, and not much of a tick down from July. So that's the disappointment. When you're talking headlines, though, and stock market reaction, one of the leading headlines coming into this announcement was from on CNBC, inflation collapse will launch powerful market rally, Credit Suisse predicts. Well, that was the optimist point of view, that we were going to see a real cratering in the rate of inflation and that that was going to bring stock equity markets back to life. We've already seen a pretty good rally from the June lows predicated on a topping of inflation. But the idea that inflation was going to dramatically decline, which, of course, would mean that the Fed would not have to impose substantial new rate increases, that was cause for great excitement and optimism. And unfortunately, now that has been dashed. What we have, to your point, I'm sorry to interrupt you, just one more thing, the jumbo hike, and I agree with you, I immediately think of elephants, we're talking that apparently the market is now pricing in a 20% increase of a 100 basis point rise next week. That would be kind of shocking given where we've been, given the sense of optimism that the Fed's magic was working and we were going to have a soft landing. A 100 basis point rise would be interpreted as we do not have this under control. It is not working. And obviously compounding a slowdown taking place elsewhere, for example, in Europe, you know, I think people would be very, become quite pretty gloomy about the U.S. economy.
We can write the speeches for the Federal Reserve chair and deputy chair ourselves right now. Stay the course. We are committed to balancing our duties about jobs, about the economy, and about people's livelihoods with fighting price instability, aka inflation. Therefore, and we can all draw the conclusion that a jumbo hike is in the cards. That's good news, Liz. I think the ambiguity was not healthy for what needs to be done, which is to stamp down demand. That's what's driving this. We have a great deal of money in our savings account. We're continuing to spend it. We're not bad people. But at the same time, the bounty that came from the pandemic has not been worked off. Remember that number we used to look at it with Marvel, $2 trillion, $3 trillion?
$2.5 trillion, yes. Yeah, excess savings, yeah.
And we are spending it, and, you know, we're taught our whole lives to spend. Okay, so what is to be done? We know the Federal Reserve can move, but the Congress also, fortunately, Congress is momentarily distracted with its reelection plans, so it's not immediately spending money, but I don't think Congress has learned its lesson, Liz. I don't think it takes responsibility for these inflation numbers, which are a direct line from the spending of 2021 and 2022.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget has a new broadside out this morning saying that the Biden administration has approved $4.8 trillion of new borrowing. That is just a staggering number. And I think this administration has been out there talking about how they've been bringing deficits down. I've mentioned before, and I think it is ironic, that in passing the latest spending bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, the way they're talking, the reason they think that will improve inflation is it reduces the deficit. In fact, it probably won't, but that's their claim. And yet they cite that as a reason to be optimistic about inflation, whereas they still take no responsibility whatsoever for the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Act, which clearly was inflationary, clearly tripped the wires of inflation, because you can see prices start to rise in the weeks and months that followed very clearly. As they poured just so much money into an already hot economy. That was the big mistake. And they aren't considering it a mistake, because the money went to a lot of Democrat support groups. So Joe Biden's administration is happy with that. But I think at some point they're going to have to pay the piper. And I think they will. I think voters will come to assign them the blame for a renewal of concern about inflation. The concern now, John, though, in the midst of what is clearly a mounting global slowdown, if not a global recession, and the leading indicators for the OECD came out recently, it really does look to me like the developed world in general is heading into a slowdown. And that is a real problem for the United States. I mean, with China slowing and having trouble with their economy, Europe obviously under enormous pressure. If we're going to be instituting 100 or even 75 basis point hikes, and now there's some talk that maybe in October they'll do it again, you know, guess what? I mean, that is pretty hard to imagine that we're going to withstand that. And to your point, yes, consumers have had this cushion of excess savings, but it's diminishing very rapidly. The savings rate's going down. Real wages are falling for a large segment of the population. That means their ability to spend on discretionary items goes down. So I think we're going to hear, again, talk about stagflation. That really hasn't been talked about much the last 6 months, because inflation was peaking out, it was thought, and the economy was kind of continuing to motor on. But the Atlanta Fed is talking 1.3% for the third quarter. I think it could be less than that. So we're at a pretty low growth trajectory, even as inflation continues pretty high.
Here's the paragraph in the Wall Street Journal write-up that I was keen to find, Liz. This is a comment by the Moody's economist, Mr. Sweet. The average household is spending $460 more each month to buy the same basket of goods and services as last year. That is a stunning number. 460 more to stay exactly in place. The Moody's economist goes on to comment, that's a big burden, particularly on lower income households. That's one reason the Fed is laser focused on getting inflation down. They have a long way to go before they get it back down to where they want it to be. But we've seen small steps in the right direction. Now, a long way to go, Liz. That means jumbo hikes for the rest of this year. And a recession is imminent, we're told again and again. That would also help the Fed knock that number down to its goal of 2%. So imagine, Liz, 9 months, the Wall Street Journal, the Wall Street crowd always brags about, we can see 9 months. Can you see 9 months? Can you see somewhere in the spring, summer of 2023 that we get to 2%, or is it still too far to guess that?
Well, we sure better hope so. I think there's the only path to 2% is a really stiff recession, and nobody wants that, of course. My guess is that the Fed will waver. I don't know that they really want to plunge the country into recession. And my best guess is, John, they'll start redefining what their inflation goal or target actually should be. And it probably won't be 2%. It'll probably be 3%, maybe 4%. And the explanation will be, somehow that's okay, because over time, maybe it'll decline further. But I can pretty much guarantee you that coming into a presidential election year, the Fed is going to be under monster pressure. They even are now, particularly from Democrats, to not engineer a recession. And, you know, Jay Powell is going to try very hard in this cycle to get this done. But if it lingers into the next presidential cycle, I think it's going to be really tough.
And the Federal Reserve can move. Congress cannot move, can stay its hand. Do you see any evidence either the administration or Congress accepts the lessons of 2021 and will take its foot off the accelerator of spending? Any hints at that, Liz, if once we're done with the midterms?
My immediate response is absolutely not, because the Biden administration is keen to buy votes. That's what they've been doing. Every bill they pass is aimed at particular sectors and segments of the population to stir up enthusiasm. The student loan cancellation is a pretty good example of that. They're in big trouble with young voters, so go and cancel student loans, which they think will improve their polling. So bottom line is no, I don't see any reserve about spending. The optimist in me would say, well, they did at least talk optimistically about bringing the deficit down with this Inflation Reduction Act. It was all sort of a smoke and mirrors pretense, but nonetheless, it shows that we at least know that the American public is on their case about this. The problem is, John, unfortunately, and this is true of both sides of the aisle, the way you please voters is by giving them new things. It's never about taking away things. It's never about saying, well, we're no longer going to have subsidies for wind farms, or we're going to cut down on disability programs or whatever, even if that would mean good governance, even if our government should have some discipline restored. Nobody wins votes for doing that. And that's kind of the underbelly of democracy, right? Voters want success. They want things given to them that they feel they need, whether arguably, reasonably, it's safe streets or some other aspect of government. But rarely do they really get excited about someone who comes in and says, yes, I'm going to trim budgets and make our government much more responsible. That doesn't happen very often. We saw a little bit of that when after the financial crisis, there was a pretty big surge from the right on fiscal responsibility. There was a little bit of negotiating with the Obama administration, but that is really an outlier.
Elizabeth Peake, writing at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News, a columnist, and much on Fox Business. We're going to turn to the politics of the moment and a speech in Philadelphia by the president. I'm John Batchelor.